Today, my dear faithful, is the 19th Sunday after Pentecost. Now, the epistle for today's Mass is taken from St. Paul's epistle to the Ephesians, chapter 4. Brethren, be renewed in the spirit of your mind, and put on the new man, who according to God is created in justice and holiness of truth. Wherefore, putting away lying, speak ye the truth, every man with his neighbor, for we are members one of another. Be angry and sin not. Let not the sun go down upon your anger. Give not place to the devil. He that stole, let him now steal no more, but rather let him labor, working with his hands the things which is good, that he may have something to give to him that suffereth need. And the Holy Gospel. Taken from the Gospel of St. Matthew, chapter 22. At that time, Jesus spoke to the chief priests and the Pharisees in parable, saying, "The kingdom of heaven is likened to a king who made a marriage for his son. And he sent his servants to call them that were invited to the marriage, and they would not come. Again, he sent other servants, saying, 'Tell them that were invited, behold, I prepared my dinner. My beeves and fatlings are killed, and all things are ready. Come ye to the marriage.' But they neglected and went their ways, one to his farm and another to his merchandise. And the rest laid hands on his servants, and having treated them contumeliously, put them to death. But when the king had heard of it, he was angry, and sending his armies, he destroyed those murderers and burnt their city. Then he said to his servants, 'The marriage indeed is ready, but they that were invited were not worthy. Go ye therefore into the highways, and as many as you shall find, call to the marriage.' And his servants, going forth into the ways, gathered together all that they found, both bad and good, and the marriage was filled with guests. And the king went in to see the guests, and he saw there a man who had not on a wedding garment, and he said to him, 'Friend, how camest thou in hither, not having on a wedding garment?' But he was silent. Then the king said to the waiters, 'Bind his hands and feet, and cast him into the exterior darkness. There shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth, for many are called, but few are chosen.'" Thus far the words of today's Holy Gospel. For many are called, but few are chosen. Words taken from the Gospel of today's Mass. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. Some time ago, my dear faithful, a certain priest living in Tokyo received a phone call at 2:00 in the morning. The priest leapt out of his bed, for he had been expecting this call. You see, this priest had just visited a nursing home the day before, as was his custom. And he knew that one of the patients there was expected to die soon. Sure enough, when he answered the phone, it was that same nursing home asking him to come. The priest rushed to get ready and hurried out into the streets of Tokyo. He raced to the nursing home, which was on the outskirts of the city. But when he arrived there, instead of leading him to the sick person whom he had visited the day before, the nurses led him to a different part of the home. They led the priest to a 98-year-old Japanese woman whom he had never met before. When this woman saw the priest, her eyes lit up, and a weak smile spread across her face. She immediately said, as loud as she could, "Thank you, Father, for coming." The priest, wondering why he had never met this woman before, asked her if she was a Catholic. The woman immediately began to tell her story to the priest. She explained that as a young girl, she had attended a Catholic school. Although her family was Buddhist, she requested to be baptized when she was 15 years old. The sisters instructed her in the faith, and she was received into the church. She then received the bread of angels for the first time. However, soon after, as was the custom in Japan at that time, her family arranged a marriage for her to a Buddhist monk. Her husband agreed to put no obstacles in the way of her faith, and he was faithful to his promise. But he lived in an isolated temple in the mountains. There simply was no Catholic church that she could attend. Thus, she was, in the practical order, unable to practice her faith. She lived at that Buddhist temple for 70 years. And so for 70 years, she never saw a priest or a church. During all that time, her children had passed away, as well as her husband. A new Buddhist priest came to care for the temple, and he forced this elderly woman to leave. For the last 10 years after that, she had been living at this nursing home. Nevertheless, during those 80 years, she prayed continually that she would not die before seeing a priest. Amazed at her story, at her incredible perseverance in the faith, the priest asked her, "Do you remember the God of the Christians after all these years?" The dying woman smiled weakly again and pulled a rosary from under her covers. She said, "All my life, Father, during my work, I always had the pearls of the Madonna with me. I daily prayed for the grace to see a priest once more before I died. Now you are here. My prayers have been answered." Still smiling, she began to pray the Our Father, then the Hail Mary. As she did, the good priest administered the last sacraments to her. Soon she breathed her last, clutching her rosary in her hands, with a smile still lingering on her lips. In today's Gospel, my dear faithful, we read the parable of a king inviting guests to his son's wedding feast. Our Lord ends this parable by saying, "Many are called, but few are chosen." In this parable, the guests who were invited and welcomed into the king's home are the souls who have entered the church and received sanctifying grace. These are the many that are called, for many do receive sanctifying grace. After his house is filled with guests, the king then came down to see them. This king, of course, represents God himself, for one day God will come to see his guest and to judge each one, to see if they are worthy to remain in his church and enjoy the the feast of heaven. Sadly, my dear faithful, few are chosen. That is, few are found worthy at the end of their life to enter into the kingdom of heaven. Our life's work is to make sure we will be found worthy by living our lives in the state of grace and then dying in that state. And after the Mass and the sacraments, one of the most powerful means at our disposal is the Holy Rosary. We are constantly bombarded today, as it were, with temptations. Immodesty is everywhere. Cursing and swearing are so common in conversation. Blasphemy and the abuse of our Lord's holy name are now used as common exclamations, even by those who know nothing about him. Sins that cry to heaven for vengeance parade in the streets and are protected by law. To survive in such an anti-God and anti-Christian atmosphere, we need God's grace, and we need it every day. Thus, more than ever, we need Our Lady's help to be found worthy by God. We need our rosary each day. God wants us to pray to Him through Our Lady. It is true that all graces were earned by Christ on the cross, but all graces are given to us through our Blessed Mother. In fact, St. Bernard of Clairvaux, a doctor of the Church, tells us, "Look close and see with what intimate love God wants us to honor the Blessed Mother." He then says that every hope we have, every grace, all salvation comes from her. When we offer our prayers or good works through Our Lady, she, the Mother of Mercy, takes these prayers and good works, cleans them of our faults and failings, and she personally presents them to God. Thus, our good works become more pleasing to God, for they come from her immaculate hands. But a person may ask, why the rosary in particular? We should pray, my dear faithful, the rosary, because it is, as that dying Japanese woman said in the story, the pearls of the Madonna. Each prayer of the rosary is a priceless pearl, because each prayer was given to us by God Himself or through His Church. The rosary begins with the Apostles' Creed. This prayer was first written by the pillars of the Catholic Church, the 12 apostles, the 12 men chosen by our Lord Himself. Then follows the Our Father, which Christ, the God-man Himself, taught us to pray. But most of the rosary consists of the Hail Mary. This short prayer actually has three authors, all three of whom were inspired by the Holy Ghost. The first half of the Hail Mary is the combination of the words of the Archangel Gabriel at the Annunciation. "Hail, full of grace, the Lord is with thee." The angel's words are joined with the words of St. Elizabeth, the mother of St. John the Baptist, who said to Our Lady, "Blessed art thou amongst women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb." The second half of the Hail Mary was given to us by Holy Mother the Church at the Fourth General Council. At this council, the heretic Nestorius was condemned for teaching that Mary is not the Mother of God. To combat this heresy, the bishops of the council added the words, "Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen." After each decade, we pray the Glory Be. And this ancient prayer was also added by the Church herself. Then, in an apparition to Lucia Fatima, Our Lady herself gave us the prayer, O My Jesus, which her divine Son had given to her, and asked it be prayed at the end of each decade of the Rosary. Finally, we end our rosary with the Hail Holy Queen. This prayer is actually a hymn to Our Lady written so many centuries ago, and it has since been prayed and sung throughout the Church. St. Alphonsus de Liguori, in his book, The Glories of Mary, dedicates an entire chapter to explaining each word of the Hail Holy Queen. After the Mass, then, where can we find a better prayer than the Rosary? But there is another great reason why the Rosary is such an excellent prayer to Our Lady. And that is because it is exactly what Our Lady wants us to pray. From her apparition to St. Dominic in the 12th century, to her apparition at Fatima in the 19th, Our Lady has repeated again and again her request that we pray her rosary. This is the prayer that Our Lady herself has selected for us to honor her. But as a loving mother, Our Lady wants us to pray her rosary for our own welfare, for she knows that the rosary will help us keep our sanctifying grace. We should pray the rosary daily because in it we ask 153 times, "Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen." We ask Our Lady's intercession for us sinners. With these words, we confess that we need our Blessed Mother's help. Confessing our weakness, we ask the all-powerful Mother of God to beg her Son for the graces we need now. Now in our work, now in our prayer. Now at every moment of our life, and please God, at the hour of our death, to be in the state of grace. My dear faithful, whether we have sanctifying grace or not is all that really matters in life. This is why we live, to save our souls, to be found worthy at the end of our life to enter into the kingdom of heaven. And that is what Our Lady wants above all else. This is what she revealed in an apparition to Blessed Alain de la Roche when she said that she especially wants people who have a devotion to her rosary to have her Son's grace and blessings during their lifetime and at their death. Thus, the surest and easiest way to be found worthy before our judge, Christ the King, is to go to him through his Queen, our Blessed Mother. If we are faithful to the Queen of Heaven, to the daily recitation of the Pearls of the Madonna, she will certainly be faithful to us. after 80 years without a priest, mass, or sacraments. The Japanese woman in the story kept the faith in the midst of a pagan society. We can safely say that she saved her soul, for this poor woman daily went to the Queen of Heaven and asked her for the grace to be found worthy. Pray Our Lady's Rosary every day, my dear faithful, that you may save your souls, for many are called, but few are chosen. May God bless you. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.